Let's turn in the scriptures to 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13. We'll be reading verses 1 through 14, the whole chapter. This is the last chapter of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 1. These are God's words. Let's give our full attention to the Lord who speaks from on high. This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you if I were present the second time. And being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other that if I come again, I will not spare. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil. Not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong, and this also we wish, even your perfection. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification, and not to destruction. And finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Those are God's words. And here are the conclusion of Paul's second letter to the Corinthian church. And you would not expect this chapter, if you were considering that this is the last or second letter of Paul to the church in Corinth, because he uses very strong and yet necessary language. And you would assume that he would have done that previously, and the last chapter would be his final greetings and be much, we might say, nicer. And yet, here he comes with the strong but necessary language, with warnings against obstinate sinners, against those things which have been clearly established already in the previous chapters. And so he's really calling the Corinthian church to examine their hearts, and you are, church here, you are to examine your hearts, that you be found, just like the church in Corinth, that you not be found on the last day as reprobates, those who are not in union with Jesus Christ, those who have not truly believed and repented of their sins. For those who see their sin and turn from it in Christ have the Holy Spirit of Christ in them. And so turn from your sin, that you would be found as, we'll hear this evening, as one of the elect and not one of the reprobates. And then verses 7 through 10, he prays for them that they may abstain from all evil and practice the truth. And you see in verse 11, then, he's calling to them, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, so unity, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you, the promise that God is with us. And then the conclusion of the letter, and that final greeting and benediction, which is a blessing pronounced upon the people. Let's pray. Father, we give you praise. We're thankful once again, that you give us warning and call us just as you did in 1 Corinthians. So you do here. You call us to examine our own hearts, to examine our minds, our lives, our desires, our affections. And if there be any sin, if there be any imperfections, if there would be in the opposite of what you encouraged and called us to this evening, of disunity, no peace, our Father, we pray that you would grant to us to examine our hearts of our sins and turn from them unto you in Christ your Son. Father, we pray that you would build up us as a church, as a congregation of your people, amongst the broader church that is through the world, throughout the world, your bride, the very bride of Jesus Christ, our bridegroom and husband. We pray that you would sanctify your bride and cleanse your bride of all her stains, even by your truth, knowing as you, your Son prayed in John 17, your word is truth. And Father, we pray that you would turn us and our hearts to you. Make us to be a faithful people, corporately and therefore individually. Each individual, we must turn from our sins, turn from our fleshly desires, that the Spirit would direct us and we would not quench the Spirit or grieve the Spirit with our rebellion, that we would submit to your Spirit's leadings, and that you would shower us with your grace, producing fruit in us, the fruit that is necessary to remain in the tree and attached to the vine. We pray that you would produce such fruit in your people and your elect. We pray that every single one of us here would be of your elect if it would be your will. And may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray this evening that you would grow us in number. Grow us that we would be able to plant another church, for we have hope in the very promises that you have granted to us in your word, revealing these things to us and to our children. That all nations will turn unto you, and so we know that the means by which all nations will turn unto you will be through the preaching and proclamation of the gospel, the good news that we today are not ashamed of. And if we are ashamed, Father, we pray that you would turn us back to you and cause us to have that great earnest zeal and boldness to proclaim the truth of your word. And Father, we pray that you will encourage us and grow us so that we'll be able to plant another church, and that your kingdom would advance, that not even the gates of Hades could stop the offensive of your great military, of which Christ is the captain of our salvation and leads us into battle against Satan and those of the world with the gospel and winning sinners unto your Son Jesus Christ. We pray that you would grant us the grace to speak well. And Father, we also pray that you would turn our nation from its sins, and turn our nation from the murderous laws and actions, the adulterous laws and actions, how even children dishonor their parents, that there is much fraud and stealing and coveting in our midst, in our world, as well as slander and gossip that we prayed about this morning. And Father, we pray that you would turn us, that the abortions would end, that the adulteries and fornications would end, and that through the gospel being proclaimed and sinners' hearts being made alive in Christ your Son by the Spirit. I do ask for your help today for Oliver, the Oliver in Maryland of that the Trinity Church that we have been praying about this week, that the cabinet or whatever he was climbing on with another young boy fell upon him. I know that there is bleeding in the brain and pray that you would uphold him. We're thankful for the good news that has come that in the tests that they've done, they've seen that he can breathe on his own. And we do pray that you would bring it about that he would, and the doctors would allow him to heal in his brain so that he could breathe all on his own without any machine at all. And that you would heal him and bring him out of the coma he is in. And you would return him back to his state that he was in before, if that would be your will. But if not, we pray that you would give that congregation, those parents, the strength, the grace. And Father, we pray that you would uphold them as they struggle, as they mourn, as they fast. Surely they should fast, and most likely will. And pray that you would uphold them and call them to faith in Christ, the strong tower and our fortress and theirs. We praise you that you answered our prayers concerning Jeannie and her second surgery and on her teeth. Praise you that everything has gone well, but we do pray that you would heal her and strengthen her in her body as she's not feeling well today, probably as a result of that surgery. Father, we pray that you would uphold her. I pray that you would be with the Maxwells as they return this week. You would give them safety in their travels home. And you would uphold them even this day on the Lord's Day as they're away from us. And I do pray that you would give them the word today. And then, Father, we do pray for those who are not here this evening. We pray for their souls, that you would uphold them and keep them from the evil one as they have abstained from being here and even perhaps bring danger to their soul. Father, we pray that you would uphold them nonetheless. And then, Father, we pray for our presbytery and ask that you would provide ministers for those we've prayed for often recently. And as well, Father, we pray that you would lead our presbytery to truth, to be faithful unto you. The various investigations that are happening in our presbytery now, we pray that you would grant wisdom, truth to be known, and that right wisdom would be granted, and the right rule as well. And Father, we pray for our synod that meets in the coming month, at the end of this next month. Father, we pray that you would grant your elders to rule according to your word, not based upon their emotions, not based upon what they think and feel like would be the best thing, but according to your word alone, according to true wisdom. And Father, we pray that your will would be done in all these things for our sakes, since we are under their authority. We pray that you would grant us a greater appreciation for what you have revealed to us in the Bible of Presbyterianism and church government. And you would grant a more faithful church today and in the future than in the past. That you would send forth your Spirit and reform your church. And all these things we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.